My favorite part of the evening, I really, really honestly like the sign-in readers because it's an opportunity for the poets to try their stuff. And although the crowd breaks, we could have some fun with it. And one of the young men that I like, Sawyer, come up here and have some fun.
That's all right. All right, this one's for Jimmy's theme. This is America. Those who don't understand history are doomed to repeat it. Those who do understand history are doomed to watch helplessly while everyone else repeats it. This isn't America, they cry, watching tears stream down small brown faces wrapped in thin foil blankets, peering through chain-link fences. But this is America. This isn't America, they protest. A sobbing child, their battle cry, echoing, reverberating, amplifying. But this is America. This isn't America, they rage. Ridiculous religious rationalization, disgusting judicial gymnastics. But this is America. This is America. Ask Siri about Indian boarding schools. The children who survived the Trail of Tears grew up to have their children torn away. This is America, of kill the savage, save the man, assimilation camps assassinating cultures. This is America, make-believe monsters across imaginary lines, real monsters coldly sign policy. Krampus rattles his chains from elected office. This is America, but it doesn't have to be.
That was like that.
Can we, hey Jimmy,
yeah.
Can we have a mini bio on that young man?
You
want?
Sean Sawyer is a young poet, and he goes to community college at Boyce. And also, he was in Afghanistan, and he was one of the ones that had to see the horrific deeds done by men. And if he wants to tell you about that, that would be his place, not mine.
Oh, yeah, no, that's fine.
Okay, but anyway, that is him. The next part is Sean Jones. He was also in Iraq and Afghanistan. And again, he knows the horror of mankind.
Cool. So I didn't know about the children, so I wrote something else. it's called A Short Walk to Terror. At 35, I learned that I'm not invincible. From the first whistle of the incoming rounds, I am up and moving. Hobbled by injury, I still do my job. Cane in hand, I am outside, barking out orders and checking on the men. I cast my eyes to the black Afghan skies, watching the lights dancing like lightning bugs. Tracer rounds, incoming, outgoing. My walk is short, the guard towers are close. With the men inside, there's no room for me. So I walk, limping, from tower to tower, exposed. I'm exposed. In the open, uncovered, as down rain the mortar rounds, as in comes the gunfire, the rockets, I watch a mortar explode 70 meters from where I stood. I pick myself up as a new experience worms its way into my soul. Fear. Terror, absolute mind-numbing terror invades my consciousness, like the enemy outside the gate was trying to do. I was afraid. For the first time in my career, I was afraid. Not the little fear, not the will I run fast enough on my fitness test fear, not the will the girl say no fear, the big fear. The I am going to die and die horribly fear. My mind, my thoughts turn from returning fire and defending my men to fear. I am scared. I am scared I'm going to die. I am scared that I'm never going to see my wife again, never going to see my daughter again. The barrage ends eventually, and I am trying to control my temper, my trembling. Unwilling to show my fear, I force composure. I get checked out by the medics for blood. The men accounted for and no injuries are found. Drifting off to sleep that night, I realize everything has changed. Everything.
Thank you very much, Sean. And that's a very good poem. You see, we're going to hang out together and we're going to make magic happen because unless you've been there and seen it, you understand it's hard to even describe. And that kind of fear, it's beyond praying in a ditch. And as you tremble, it's like the madness of it all. And I'm going to tell you something. Unless you, I don't know how many people have been to war. I don't know if you've been to war. I don't know. But war has a smell all by itself. You cannot describe. You can. But these men will tell you. It has a very unique smell, more than just tracers, more than mortars, more than the heat. It has a smell of fear. Okay, am I right, boys? My next poet is my friend and publisher. He took my book. He's going to read something of mine. Go.
Hey, Bob Ziller.
Bob Ziller, I forgot.
This is one of Jimmy Savedic's from his most recent book, Dog Days. It's twice as nice. Jealousy is a very dangerous thing. This young woman with tight everything walked past, and I looked and looked, like I was a boy standing at a window looking into a candy store. All the candy in the world and no money. And I've been standing at the window for years. In years, just staring. My girlfriend caught me staring. Aren't you ashamed, you old goat, staring at that young girl's backside? I said, no, and I strongly hope that I can always stare into the candy store. Then she got mad. You old billy goat, and gave me the index fingers rubbing on top of each other. Shame on you. Shame on you, you old billy goat. I said, I don't know why it bothers you. Yours is twice as nice. And the crazy woman turned into my mother and threw a cup of hot cocoa at my head.
Yes, be careful if you tell a woman she is twice as nice. It might get you cocoed. I think it says M.
No.
That is you. Come.
And they called me Ian. Years later, they wanted to change my name my mom suggested, thank you, sweetie. You know, really the right way to pronounce your name is Ian. And I said, well, I like Ian because what they call you, you learn to like. Although the teachers can never tell if that was a boy or a girl's name. They thought I was kidding them when I raised my hand. I'm going to take one last one from the industrial strength portion of, unless we can only read one. Is that? In that case, I got to give you something to cheer you up. You guys are going to die if you just keep drinking all of this acid. I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying too much vinegar can kill you, you know. So let me find one for you that'll make you smile.
God bless you.
I'll try. I'm a little slow. I always think, I'd like this one, I'd like that one, I'd like to read them all. It doesn't work that way. And that's probably a good thing for you guys. But here's one. It's actually a recipe. And the title is, I Did Not Tell You So. I know where these things will lead. It's not a path I want to go. Forewarned is forearmed, remains my creed. I will not say I told you so. I know the recipe. Oh, please. A cup of must, a dash of teas, the tiniest pinch of green envy, a chopped up stalk of celery, pound and flatten courtesy, smother it in oiling, dice them up and let them brew, heat them until boiling, a common dish for a common few. Who can resist this sulky stew? Take care. It is an acquired taste. Expensive ingredients can go to waste. If a violated palate is all you show, I will not say I told you so. Now I got to try hard not to trip over the wire.
The next reader will be my friend, Barry Governor.
Barry.
Barry.
Hi. This poem's in three parts. Everything will be okay. One, 2,000 miles equals the distance between one child and one parent separated by one chain link cage. Two, the searing of the heart increases in direct proportion to the amount of time it takes to realize you cannot see your child, you cannot see your child, will not see your child. What will happen? What if? What if? What if? Mama? Papa? Mama? Ignore what you remember, a smile, your reflection in their eyes. No funeral. No final goodbye. Grieving. 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 A void beyond desert-tried tears, beyond the numbing loss. Three. The children's faces, their tears, their cries. Their eyes, their eyes, their eyes, their eyes. I agree too. We need to escape that sometimes. Sometimes you just have to go somewhere else. One word spoken would ruin it all. I envy the writer at roll-top desk, lamp lit, inkwell full, quill raised and ready, who, in yellow light, looks past the pane to moonlit snow, the oral glow from log's defense of winter grip to edge of forest myth. Where backs glistened, sigh and sickle laying summer swaths, now shadows slip and glide on muted undulations. Black to blue to gray they fold and take their places, subtle flakes fall quieter still. One word spoken would ruin it all. Before boots plotted with certain expectation, what could that writer have achieved at that time, at that station?